Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I want to thank you for tuning in to the International Black Summit radio show. My name is Clara Lyons Devon, and I will be your host for this radio broadcast. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the International Black Summit, the International Black Summit is a gathering of black people of African descent from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views who come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration and to explore questions and issues which empower participants to realize their vision for the black community and the world. The summit is a place to clear yourself so you're able to hear what life is telling you. It is a conversation of acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are to the world. For more information about the International Black Summit, you can listen to past shows at www.blacksummit.org radio or register for regional activities or the annual event by logging into the International Black Summit website, which is www.blacksummit.org. The IBS talk show has several segments. One is hosted by John Thomas on the first Sundays, and that segment discusses the various distinctions created and explored by the summit community. Lenar Bragg hosts a segment of conversations with summit leaders the second Sunday. This is where she interviews summit participants who are creating phenomenal results in their communities and who have significantly contributed to the summit conversation. This segment is a space to keep you involved in the conversation of the summit and informed of the many summit events and activities going on around the globe so that you can meet people face-to-face with folks who are keeping the conversation of the summit alive. The You're Invited segment, this segment, is your opportunity to share who you are and your vision with like-minded people and to tap into the innovative, creative group of folks who are a summit family. Tonight, we will be talking about empowering our youth. The summit would not be the summit without the energy and enthusiasm of the young people who participate. At the summit, there is an age designated for participation in the youth summit, but I think we would all agree that the number does not limit us from expressing our youth vitality and the legacy we leave through the younger generation. I would like to introduce two very, very phenomenal people. One is Ms. Joyce, who is one of our adult facilitators, and also Ms. Aliyai, who is one of our youth facilitators. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you all doing this evening?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really great. I'd like to start off, if you could just say where you're from, how you first heard about the summit, and kind of what motivated you to attend your first summit.
My name is Aliyai Lawal. I am originally from South Sudan. I live in Ottawa, Ontario, in Canada. My basketball coach slash mentor, Adrian Cadet, she is the person that introduced me to the summit by having a prerequisite in 2005. Mm-hmm. And I attended the prerequisite based on, you know, her telling me that it would be something wicked and I would have a lot of fun. So I attended it, and I didn't go to Miami, but the year after I went to Detroit for my first summit because I just really wanted to see what the summit was all about since I had such a great time at the prerequisite. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's what motivated me to be at the summit space. And since then, I've been coming.
Oh, great. What about you, Joyce?
My name is Joyce Jones. I'm from Newtown, Pennsylvania, which is very outside of Philly and right across the river from Trenton, New Jersey. And my participation in the summit started in Highland Park in 1992. And I was actually in New York at an event for Landmark Education. Mm-hmm. And I was on my getting on the elevator, and I met this guy called, his name is Oren Saunders. And on the way up to my seminar, he shared in the elevator ride about the summit. And I knew in those few, it was less than, you know, 30 seconds, it was an event that I wanted to attend. And it was just really out of his enthusiasm and what it was standing for. And after he read the declaration for the summit, I knew it was the place for me to be. I must say, I had planned to go. What's very interesting, I was planning to drive out with my cousin, Yvonne, and we had a breakdown, and we decided not to go. And all of a sudden, circumstances changed, and she calls me up that day and says, I want to go. Let's get in the car and go. And that's what we did. We drove all night long, and we did get there early in the morning. Didn't get any sleep, but it was worth every moment in the car because it was my first experience, and it was one that was going to last me a lifetime of participation.
It's really interesting. Both of you talked about you were introduced to the summit by someone else who currently had been in the summit, and they shared something with you about the summit event or their experience in the summer that had you want to be there. And one of the things that occurs in various states and places around the state and around the globe are what we call summit shares. In fact, there was a summit share today in Atlanta. And Perry, I believe, is going to come on a little later and talk about kind of what happened as part of that experience. But, you know, if you were to share one thing out of your, both of you, out of your experiences that, you know, you could say to someone else that would you think would have them participate in the summit, what would that be?
Trying to capture the summit in a few words. I don't know. Sometimes it's what I found is it's not so much the words you say,
mm-hmm.
it's the passion and the enthusiasm
mm-hmm.
that creates the excitement in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I could take just about, I could take an example in my life. I could share my participation with youth, my breakthroughs, the a distinction that I'm using. So for me, I guess it would be in the moment, whatever there to say
mm-hmm.
is what I would express. And it's not like I have a certain, you know, story or, you know, scenario to talk or share with someone. It's really, for me, it's in the moment. What would be there?
Mm-hmm.
Like for me now, given that this is about empowering of the youth, empowerment, and it's about youth, you know, for me, I'm very present because you said, you know, the age is for participation. And mm-hmm. I noticed for me, given that I am 61 and I'm working with the youth, I mean, I'm just so present to it may not be me empowering the youth out there, but the gift that it is and through the participation of empowering the youth inside of me
mm-hmm.
as a source for rejuvenation, you know, aliveness, you know, it's really all, it starts here, and it empowers me to be who I want to be in the world and includes all of it. It includes the senior in me, the youth in me, all my experiences. So that's what's there for me.
Pretty awesome.
I would agree that it's really hard to sum the youth space and the summit and what it provides for you in one word. But I think for me what I would share with the youth is just myself, my experiences, where I'm at, how I'm being, who I'm being in every moment, and the possibility of being more. And I think that's what the Youth Summit provides to me, is the possibility of experiencing it in every way that it comes at you and expanding it in every way that you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. You said experience it in every way that it comes at you?
and expanding it to everywhere that you want it to be.
Ooh, I like that. Expanding it to everywhere you want it to be. That's pretty profound. Tell me a little bit about the Youth Summit and for our radio audience, to kind of share what it is, who can participate, you know.
The Youth Summit is off the hook. The Youth Summit is just it's the most amazing space that has all these wonderful young people just contributing their minds, their emotions, themselves to each other. The participants are from the ages of 8 to 18, and they just come from all over with different experiences, different backgrounds, different privileges, but they share the unique experience of being youth and having the passion and the opportunity to, you know, find a vision for themselves, connect with themselves and each other, and, you know, transform the world, take over.
Transform the world and take over. I heard that.
Hello.
Yes, who's joined us?
This is Kenneth Young.
Hi, Kenneth Young.
How are you?
Hi, Kenneth.
How appropriate.
Hi.
Hey.
And who else is with us?
Hi, this is Adrian Cadet.
Well, hello, Miss.
Hello,
Adrian
Cadet.
Hi, literally coming across the road as I speak. I just walked in.
Well, I really appreciate both of you joining us this evening. And as you know, we're talking about empowering our youth, and we've distinguished a couple of things. One, age is but a number, but it doesn't define the youth and the experience in you. That the Youth Summit is definitely off the hook and the place to be for young people who want to expand themselves. How do you say it, Aliyah? Everywhere they wish to go, they want to be. And we're in the conversation of expansion in the summit, so that's very, very powerful. Do either of you have something to contribute at this point?
Yeah, this is Adrian. I'll say that, yeah, it definitely is I know for me it's been a great opportunity to tap into the young person that still exists inside of me and helps me nurture and feed that young person in me and helps me look young and feel young at the same time.
JK?
Not too much to say. Not too much to say, except can't quite formulate it, but I think when I relate to the youth, I think about that which is growing, still growing. And if I look at what my commitment is to the youth, participating in the Youth Summit is to accelerate life's experience.
When you say accelerate life's experience, share a little bit more about that.
Well, as far as I can remember, in growing up, it took me a while to learn certain lessons,
mm-hmm.
or to learn the lesson that was given to me. You know, I had to step away from it to get it. But if there could be something that can have them process what goes on around them in the world in a way that it contributes to them and have them, and I'm going to say grow up quickly, but not necessarily that they need to grow, but expand quickly, then that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times do I say, I wish if I only knew what I knew now, then, at that age?
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a product of experiences that I've had.
Right.
Like that.
Here's one of the things that really impresses me about the youth and the summit and actually the people in the summit who are working with the youth is the things that have been accomplished, you know, outside of the summit space. And I really, really was inspired by the recent email. We call it blow-ruption.
Blow-uptuation.
Where did that word come from? Blow.
just made up in the moment. Describing the process of blowing up, meaning getting bigger. So we're not as big as we want to be yet, but we're in the process of it. So it's the blow-up-tuation that we're experiencing, which as an organization, being able to create opportunities for ourselves that have given us a reputation in the community for being able to work really well with young people and for young people to be working really well with us and for us. And, you know, that work at the foundation manifested Miss Ali Ailuol, who now has spread her wings and is an entity unto herself that provides us now with access to more possibilities for touching young people through the summit conversation and her introduction to it, my introduction to it. So that's kind of a blow-up-tuation.
Got it. I really like the word. I thought, my husband said, what is blow-eruption? What is that about? And I said, you know, that's the phenomenal work that those Canada people are doing out there. That's pretty incredible. Can you share a little bit, since folks didn't have an opportunity to know what was in the email, can you share a little bit about that, either of you?
I'll let you share that, Big A, because it's really your leadership on that has provided us with this great opportunity.
So one of the things inside the Youth Summit is creating a vision for ourselves and allowing what we learn and the distinctions in the summit be guiding tools for us to live and guide ourselves in the moment of each day. So, you know, living in the possibility that everything is possible so long as I generate it, and creating my vision for myself and my community through the summit, I was able to come back and do some work and providing youth that did not get the opportunity to go to the summit to have an opportunity. So my first summit was Detroit, which was 2007. When we came back, I wanted to do a prerequisite and have youth in Ottawa experience the same thing I experienced being in Detroit. The Black Youth Conference Day was a day where I was able to facilitate a conversation of consciously owning your choice to empower yourself. And through that, we were able to get 14 youth and bring them down to New Orleans for the summit, where we fundraised, sold tickets, Kanye West tickets to get there. When we got there, we did the summit, and all the youth were blown away. And the best part of the summit in New Orleans was that after creating your vision for yourself, you were then able to go into the community and have that vision fulfilled and see that come to life. And we were able to work at the Martinez School and gut it out and help Mr. Numa with the school. Then we were able to do some rebuilding with Habitat Humanity. And the foundation that they built there then brought them back to Ottawa to want to give to more youth that opportunity. So Ms. Cadet and I, we were having the conversation of, you know, what else could we do in New Orleans? And she was reading a Sports Illustrated article talking about sports in New Orleans and how youth don't have that much opportunity. And her having a basketball team, we decided, hey, what if we do just a basketball camp in New Orleans? And that generated the idea of going back to New Orleans. So we'll be going back June 28th to July 4th to do a basketball camp in New Orleans. And from that it went to, well, we can also do a leadership development for youth in New Orleans and give them an opportunity to, you know, be leaders in their community as young people. And from that, I've been doing work at United Way Youth Action Panel. And there's been some grant writing opportunities for youth in the community, so we had put in 3 grants, one for Phoenix Basketball so that they can have a younger group of youth to play basketball, have 2 teams, and the older group can mentor the younger group and teach them skills so that they can be academic athletes and also be a contribution to their community. Another one was so that we can expand the conversation of the Black Youth Conference Day, which is an annual conference in Ottawa, and this year has had over 250 youth participating from different high schools so that we can get a bigger facility to host even more youth next year. And a third grant was for opportunity to expand 3 Dress in the Bald Head and create a leadership academy that would be 8 months and having youth do different leadership trainings as they become leaders in our community and contribute to our community as well in Ottawa. So the youth went to the interview, and we were able to tell them that the panel was impressed. They were like, wow, these are young people doing some amazing things that, you know, this is what we've been looking for to fund. And they were very impressed on how they were being in that moment that they've decided to fund those young people with full funding. So each grant got $2,500 with a total of $7,500 for those three groups to then invest it in other young people and invest it in our community that's growing in Ottawa.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
You spoke about three events. Now, the June 25th through July 28th and the Youth Conference and the Leadership Academy, if people wanted to be involved or wanted to get their young people involved with those, how would they do that and where is it located? Who would they contact?
The three grant opportunities in Ottawa, you can contact all events. You can contact Three Dreads and a Bald Head. Their email address is threedreadsandabaldhead@msn.com. And they can provide you with any information that you want. The data will be in New Orleans, the location of the basketball camp and the leadership training and the different days and locations of what's going on in Ottawa here.
Great. Can you tell us what your personal vision is? Because you're just very phenomenal. I'm just every time I talk with you, I just get more and more inspired. One, you're incredibly articulate. You seem very, very focused, you know, about your contribution. And as you say, anything is possible. I see that manifest in you, and that's just really inspiring to me. So I'm curious to know what your personal vision is.
My vision is that I am faith in the possibility of peace and unity.
Faith and peace in the possibility of unity. That's pretty awesome. And then through your experience with Ms. Cadet, and also now I understand you're the facilitator, the youth facilitator. How do I say it? The lead youth facilitator with the summit. How is it working with other young people from across the state?
It's working great because what I've been able to do through my vision and what the contribution that I want to be, not just in my community but in this world, is be able to provide this training for everyone. So currently in Canada, we have training provided for youth in Ottawa and in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where we plan to go do some more leadership work and having youth facilitate their conversation in Halifax and expand it to Montreal and Toronto. And within the States, because with the International Black Youth Summit, we have facilitators in Canada and in America. The group has been able to support each other with youth facilitators in Washington, D.C., Rachel, Reza in New Orleans. We have youth facilitators everywhere. So New Orleans, North Carolina, Tennessee, D.C., Detroit. And I'm trying to see if I'm missing anywhere else.
Anguilla.
Mm-hmm. Ottawa. Kenya. And Halifax. And Kenya as well.
And in Kenya. And then, again, if people wanted to, say, participate in the summit or hook up with some of the youth facilitators in other places, what would be the best way to do that?
The best way to do that would... Go online to the summit website and look under the youth summit, and you could also email me at ap3000@hotmail.com, and I can try to provide you with all the information that I have.
Very great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you so much, Ms. Cadet. I want to spend a minute chatting with you as well. One of the, I can't even begin to tell everyone the work that Ms. Cadet has done and the impact that she has been to so many young people in terms of getting them to the summit and her personal commitment of having that happen, and the work that she's doing in Canada. And it's interesting because both Joyce and Adrian, as Joyce is an adult facilitator and Adrian is an adult facilitator undistinguished as such. You know, and it's interesting to me because they're both in similar professions. You know, they work with young people around sports, which, you know, is about teamwork and working together. And they both impact lives, and they both, you know, are immersed in this work. But and their perspectives are different, but they share the same. I don't know. So I'd like for actually both of you to speak to the things that you're doing, some other things that you're doing with youth in your communities. And, yeah, let's start there.
Well, I'll start. Let's see. First of all, I have been teaching high school age students for 30 years. And I also have coached actually three sports over the decades, basketball, field hockey, and lacrosse. And now I'm actively coaching too, lacrosse and field hockey. And, you know, for me, it's just been, I don't want to say a privilege, but I have met a lot of success in what I've been doing, coaching over the years. And one day I decided to take a look at the number of athletes I have actually touched their lives and they touched mine. And I stopped when I was about 3,000. And I, not a lot to say, but I know for me it's been a journey. I find that, you know, for coaching it's and teaching, you know, it's not all the time you get an opportunity to hear or the feedback on the difference you make until years later. And so as I have been out there and teaching, years later, you know, some of my athletes come back and, you know, they really, you know, acknowledge me for the difference and the contributions that I've made. And that's what really, you know, keeps me in the game, so to speak. There's like this passion just to be with the youth. And as someone said one time, teaching and coaching, it's kind of, you can be schizophrenic at times. You know, there are times where they love you and you love them, and there's times where it's all there is hate. But for me, it's just finding that balance. And as I said before, it's something that I enjoy doing and have gotten a lot out of, for my life, out of the interaction with the different youth. And most recently, well, it's been, I think it was 2 years ago, I actually had a share, or actually it was a prerequisite for the youth in my community where I teach in Princeton. And I still see those students, a lot of them were young, like freshmen, sophomores, they're now seniors. And they still will share some of the distinctions that we actually, you know, were experiencing in the summit, and that they learn, and they'll see me in the hall, like the word trigger, and they'll say, "Miss Jones, I'm triggered today." So it's great to know that, you know, there are still things that they got out of the summit that they're still applying to, you know, their life every day. And you know, for me, that's a gift. It's kind of like what Kenny said, you know, that they have that now, so that they know what, that they have choices that they can make, and they are the, you know, the leaders for generations to come. You know, that impact that they have.
Right. We have another caller who just joined us.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. 404. Who's there?
Hi, this is Perry.
Hey, Perry.
Hey, Perry.
How are you?
Oh, excellent, thanks. How's everybody?
Great.
Good. So what we're talking about is how the facilitators and each of us who's working with youth, how we're impacting their lives and how we're impacting theirs. And Joyce was just sharing, and Adrian was going to share.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be like Joyce. she has 20 years of teaching on me. This is my 10th year of teaching.
Hmm.
And interestingly, I coach a sport that I did play, but that was not my passion growing up. I ran track and field. And so I guess what began as an intrigue for a team sport, because I ran I participated in an individual sport, and then I became captivated too by how boys negotiate the team concept, because I coach boys, and have always actually. I've had a couple stints where I've coached girls, but I've had a preference for coaching boys sports. And when I was introduced to the Summit Conversation in 2002 in Toronto, I sort of had a twofold inquiry about, this is a monumental, life-changing experience for me at whatever age I was at that time. Imagine the impact of it if I had been, you know, younger. Of course, always, you know, knowing what I know now, imagine that. I thought I already had a natural captive audience in my students, and by modeling certain behaviors, and actually after the summit, I begin my school year almost every year kind of with a prerequisite course, kind of the ground rules for how class will be conducted are many of the distinctions. And we began sort of using that, and then just a telephone call with a friend of mine created the annual conference that we have since 2003, hosted at my school, and now it's become too large for us to host at my school anymore. And then in 2003, after coming back from Brazil, knowing that we were going to Africa, my intention or hope was that if I was able to bring a couple of students, they could take over the work of mentoring young people in the conversation. And so in 2004, I brought two students, former students, to Africa. And that has grown and expanded now to a number of young people in our city who have been either to a prerequisite course, a summit share, or the summit itself. And the work that begins to evolve from that, coming all from that sort of one experience for me. And I would say that the coaching aspect, just like Joyce was saying, it's like, you know, in one moment you're in love, and then in the next moment you just wanna kill sometimes. But it's the perfect balance, I think, of life. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just coming back from a basketball tournament in Niagara Falls where we won two games and then lost in the championship game, and you know, you're like, wow. And so so providing the young men who are on the team with access, a deeper access for not only their physical prowess, but to really be able to get a deeper understanding for how they can begin to use the tools of the summit conversation for creating possibilities and opportunities in their life, either through sport or through academics, really is what we're grounded in. And just seeing how that has now grown and developed through them, and the same thing, the same experience when they come back from college at Christmas time or around now here in Canada, school is coming to a close and they'll all start coming back and, coach, when's the next run? We want to see the rookies. We want to, you know, play against the current team. We want to work with them. And just seeing that contribution just really just going right back, which is exactly how I got to the level of athlete that I was 100 pounds ago. So it just seems like such a perfect and natural fit. And it's been just a wonderful journey in the meantime, watching myself grow and develop as a person through each one of these young people, too. It's just a wonderful gift, just like Joyce has already said.
So there's a couple of, like, recurring themes. One is, you know, the whole idea of expansion and legacy. The other is that of tools and having the distinction as tools that people can use in their lives. And for our listeners, the show on the first Sunday of the month with John Thomas gets into more detail about various distinctions that we use in the summit. And as a summit participant, you know, they're kind of like undercurrent dialogue in the back of my head, so it goes on and on and on. And as Adrian was sharing, you know, and Joyce as well, you know, the trigger, the, you know, those things that we say them and they have meaning for us and they help guide us through making decisions, kind of like, you know, decision-making tools to get you through processes. And then the third thing is the give back, you know, interacting with youth and interacting with young people and interacting with the youth and us in a way that there's what's called succession, as it were. You know, we give to them, they give to the next person, to the next person, the next person, building the links within our community, and that makes our community stronger. And I think that's really important that I hear all of you are doing within your community and with the youth. I had a question for Perry, because Perry, you also recently, or I guess you guys had your share today, and you also did a leadership conference in Atlanta?
We did a one-day leadership course. Myself, Tamara Young, and Kahala participated in February.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Okay, great. So it actually was not a youth prerequisite inside of the International Black Summit. It was just we, all three of us, are involved in the summit conversation. Kahala, you know, is a former youth facilitator, now an, I guess, adult youth facilitator. And Tamara and myself are the source people in the Atlanta community for the summit family, and we all three shared a commitment to youth, and we really just wanted to be in action and create something and make something happen. So with a lot of assistance from Ms. AI, who is still on the line, I believe, we came up with a curriculum and, you know, just shared in our communities what we were up to and had youth participate. It was we didn't do it through the under the auspices of GABIS. We wanted it to be a no cost experience. So we just kind of self generated that, and really focusing on having the young people distinguish for themselves a vision, and looking at you know, who do they have to be inside of that vision to experience themselves as a leader, or what are the ideas that they had about leadership previously without having that vision to back it up. We used a quote by Audre Lorde that says, when I dare to use my strength in service of my vision, it matters less and less whether or not I am afraid. So that was kind of like our founding or our grounding. And we used a lot of summit distinctions, and also shared with them the opportunity of the summit. So I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Yes, he did. And if one of the young people were there, if you could say what they got out of that experience, you know, based on what they shared with you, what would they say?
Well, we, out of the participants that were there, the majority of them said that they experienced value for themselves, that they would like to do it again, that they wanted to have it be, you know, bigger. One of the visions that one of the young women created was, she was like, we want to have this, but we want it to be like a whole gym full of kids, like 500 strong. And one of them really kind of touched us by sharing, she was very, well, she didn't really have to share. We had noticed. She was very resistant. She didn't want to be there. She was like, she had gotten dropped off there. And if she could drive, she wouldn't have chosen to be there. It was her day. It was a President's Day in the United States. So it was a day off from school. It was a Monday. So it's kind of like, this is my day off and why am I here? And by the end of the day, one of the distinctions that we were working with is assuming value. And she was like, it's like today. Like, I could have stayed the way that I was in the morning and, you know, been difficult with you all and, you know, kept having side conversations with my friends and not really participating. But then when I really saw what it was that you were offering and that it was really for me, I assumed value and I had a great day. And it was just so simple, but, you know, very, and she was clearly, you know, touched by what she had gotten for herself. And that a vision isn't like some future off somewhere else goal, you know, when I grow up, I want to be. It's in the present, in the now.
Mm-hmm.
It's immediately accessible. It might be how you get to that goal by keeping your eye on the vision. But it's not, you don't postpone the vision until you get somewhere. So I'd say that's what they got.
That's pretty awesome. So that's another running theme. Ali, I introduced earlier as part of the youth summit. It's about creating a vision for, you know, and having guiding tools where everything is possible so long as you create it. And then you're also sharing that one of the important components for empowering our youth is that they have the ability to create vision. And it's a fundamental principle of the summit that we're encouraging participants to, you know, identify and create what their vision is for the Black community in the world. So visioning as a tool is a really, really important tool for empowering our youth. And this question is for anybody. Are there other tools in addition to visioning that you think are important to empowering our youth?
Other tools, as in other distinctions?
It could be a distinction, or it could be a process, or it could be an activity, or, you know, things. Like, how it occurs for me in the world right now is that our youth are, we have two, maybe three components of youth. One group is very troubled, extremely troubled, and they really don't have an appropriate way to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Why they're troubled or not, and it shows up for me like violence, you know,
mm-hmm.
violence against each other, violence against teachers, violence against other people. Like that's how it expresses itself. And then there's another group that is on the total opposite spectrum who sees opportunities, participates in those opportunities, whether that opportunity is the summit or leadership council or workshop. But some kind of way they get involved with people like the folks on this call and, you know, get tools, summit tools, tools of people who are reaching out to the youth to help them. And then there's a group that's kind of in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not totally gone, but they're not totally connected either. And if we're talking about empowering the youth in our community, you know, the summit obviously is one tool, and I think it's a very powerful and positive tool. Having people who are in the education system like Joyce and Adrian and folks who aren't like Perry, you and myself and JK and Ali, I'm not sure if you're a teacher or not.
Pardon me?
Are you a teacher?
Oh, no.
No, okay. And Ali, I...
Out of the classroom.
Yeah. Who are, you know, outside of the educational system, but who are impacting youth nonetheless through things that are going on. And then you have crisis intervention people who at that point, you know, it's kind of all out of control. But if we were to, like, really look, how do we empower our youth out there and then our youth internally? You know, how do we do that?
Well, I think one thing that's interesting, like when you were talking about the different levels,
mm-hmm.
You know, when we were preparing for the course, we sent out a lot of communications to just different organizations, people we knew in our community. And, you know, we got one response, and we're in communication with Power Girls, which is a, you know, a group that kind of serves girls who are already active, they're academically successful, they're probably college-bound, they're on a certain track. And I see where the distinctions of the summit would definitely serve them in forwarding that. But we also got a response from someone who works with youth who are currently in juvenile detention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so they're on the complete other end of the spectrum. They've made some choices that have produced a certain result that, you know, has literally had them not be free.
Mm-hmm.
But it still serves them where they are.
Right.
And I think one of the things that was really amazing, and I'm sure Joyce and Adrian and Alia have seen this as well, is one of the things that the conversation of the summit or the distinctions provide is an opportunity for kids who may not have an opportunity to engage with each other
mm-hmm.
in other arenas, you know, because a lot of times high school, middle school is a very cliquish, segregated, you know, you're over here situation. I mean, two of the kids that really interacted with each other, or the young people that interacted with each other the most in our course, was a 12-year-old and a 21-year-old.
Mm.
Who probably outside of that experience that one day, you know, at a local community center would not have engaged with each other. And so they got to see, okay, so who am I? A 12-year-old can see, who am I as a leader to a 21-year-old? A 21-year-old can see, who do I have to be a leader for this 12-year-old coming up? And how are our conversations different, but yet the same?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it provides tools that can, I mean, they work for all adults in all aspects and all areas and all arenas of life. Why would they not work for youth in all those different stages?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just about being present. One thing that I saw a lot, I was in the classroom for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
Is this whole question of, like, respect and what our youth are defining as respect. A lot of times when you get to the core of whatever the fight or the violence or the disrespect or the whatever the skirmish in the hallway or the mashup in the cafeteria, it's over this notion of so-and-so disrespected me. And it's coming from not being grounded in self, where somebody can say something so easily that can just take you out and have you be a way that, you know, is not how you normally want to see yourself.
Mm-hmm. Another way of saying that as well is respect is empowerment. You know, so when you feel empowered, you feel respected. When you feel disrespected, one might not feel as empowered, or someone is taking away your power.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I appreciate about the summit and the work that's done, as you were saying, Perry, it brings together youth from various ages, different categories, different segments of the population, different places, and brings them all together. And also this idea of empowerment. I feel it really creates a place of where the young people can be empowered and they have a voice and they're listened to and they can speak that voice in whatever way, you know, they speak it. Because I get that young people speak is very different from adults speak.
Yeah, and I think you know, as it creates itself in the school system, you know, young people come out of so many, you know, 15 years of formal education, and they know when they get near the end, close to graduation, like, you know, there's something for you to do, but they don't know what it is yet. And so visioning, you know, vision as in the word, you know, the meaning see, you know, they haven't figured out yet how to see that. And even when they create the vision, we now you know, we want to say, okay, choice and action. It's a verb. We want you to put that vision into action. And now how do you do that? And, you know, those are the distinctions then now can be used as breaking that down to its essence of what do I need in this moment, in the next moment? What am I feeling? How do I express that? How do I then make it happen? And I think that's the great gift that the conversation has for young people, that it's not maybe in figuring out the what, but it's feeling the power to create the possibility of it all. And like for me, that to me is the powerful thing about it, that actually really and truly anything is possible, and I have the power to create that.
Mm-hmm. Very, 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 very cool. We have someone else who just joined us, extension 336.
Hello.
John.
Hey, how are you?
Fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful.
great. You're jumping in here. We have a few minutes left. Is there something that you'd like to share?
Well, I just, you know, was really inspired by, who was that,
Aliyah,
who's just speaking. I think it's very powerful what you were just saying, in terms of, you know, not so much what there would be for young people to do, but the power to create the possibility of what there is, which I think just opens up a whole new world. And I just want to acknowledge for, I guess I would say, you're seeing. Like, you're seeing that. I think that's really, really powerful. I wish I had access to this kind of conversation for 17 or 18. You know, and I know you're not 17 or 18 anymore. You are how old now?
23.
You know, and my daughter, who will be turning 20 in June, kind of grew up in this language and in this conversation. And I think it's just so remarkable. You know, so I just love listening to what you're sharing. And, you know, I hope that other youth and young adults are finding this as an opportunity to look at and really begin to create what they want to create for themselves in their life.
Awesome. One of my intentions for the You're Invited segment is to really provide people an opportunity to participate in Summit sponsored and Summit inspired events that are occurring in other places, you know, that are occurring in the States and, you know, outside of the States and Canada and internationally. And still working on, you know, how that expresses itself in this show. But Perry, is there a way, if people wanted to participate in an upcoming symposium for the youth, that they would be able to get that information?
Yes. Actually, we are scheduled to have a youth prerequisite in Atlanta on May 31st.
Great.
And if they were interested in the visioning workshop, they could contact myself or Tamara.
That sounds like Perry.
It is Perry. And Tamara's email is tdy_young@hotmail.com. And mine is omitomi@hotmail.com. And, again, the youth prerequisite in Atlanta is for May 31st.
Great. And then will there be a prerequisite in Canada anytime soon?
Not that I'm aware of. We had one last year, a youth prerequisite and young adult prerequisite in June last year, but we're not scheduled to have a prerequisite, or one hasn't manifested itself as yet here in Ottawa. But we do have our fundraising campaign will begin in the next couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
Where we're working to support young folks traveling to Anguilla for the summit this year.
Mm-hmm.
Our artists that we're being supported by for the Cisco Blues Fest is Wyclef Jean and Akon. So we have a partnership that we started last year with this Blues Festival, which is the longest running blues festival in North America. And we get half of the ticket sales, half of every ticket that we sell for that one day,
mm-hmm.
Both for the gospel show as well as for the main stage. And it has been a great benefit so far in both years of this partnership that the artist is a youth-friendly artist that provides a great opportunity for young people to use their networks to sell lots of tickets. And so that will get started for the July. They haven't actually announced the date of the show, but I think it's July 12th. So if you want to come on a time in Ottawa where the weather's nice and the sun is shining, and that's probably going to be pretty hot, we hope. Ali, I, and I last year were in the rain all day, so we weren't happy campers during Kanye West. But when they gave us the check, we were smiling much better.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And all of those of you who had an opportunity to go to the summer were smiling as well, so that's excellent work. I would say kudos. How do you say it in the slang?
Which one?
In Jamaican slang, how do I say one up?
Oh yes,
kudos.
Big up, one up. It was wonderful. It was a great, great day, and I'm hoping for a great day this year too.
Awesome. We have a couple of minutes left. I have a short closing, but are there any other prerequisites that we know about happening from the people who are on the call?
There's an adult prerequisite in Atlanta on May 31st as well.
Okay. Great. I would really, really like to thank all of you for participating today on the show, Ali, Joyce, JK, Adrian, Perry, John. Thank you so much for sharing the wonderful and fabulous work that you're doing in your communities. Keep up the good work. I know it's challenging to work with young people, but the world is a better place because of it. I also want to thank all of the youth who couldn't be on this call, who wanted to be, and our youth are so phenomenal. They're traveling all over the world, so a lot of them weren't able to join us today. I want to thank Lenar and the IBS radio team and everyone who listened, chatted online, or called in to the You're Invited segment of the International Black Summit Talk Show. The You're Invited segment will air every third Sunday, and we'll keep you informed of some of the events and activities going on around the globe so that you can meet folks face-to-face who are keeping the conversation of the summit alive and realizing their powerful visions for the black community and the world. Be sure to tune in next to the International Black Summit radio show the first Sunday of May with host John Thomas. John, what distinction will you be sharing? Oh, I guess John's gone.
I'm here.
Oh, which distinction will you be sharing?
Trigger.
Trigger. Ooh, that's a
trigger.
That's a good one. I'll be on. And remember, you can listen to this or any past broadcast 24/7 at www.blacksummit.org/radio. For more information about the International Black Summit or to register for any of our activities in our annual event, log on to our website at www.blacksummit.org. My name is Claire Lyons Devon, and I invite you to show up powerfully in your life and share the special gift that God gave only to you. We will be in Anguilla in 2008. I hope to see you all there. and sponsor a youth, sponsor yourself, be there, be square. Peace out. Thank you, guys. I really, really appreciate you sharing yourself so fully on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.